taking your requests with Cafe Rock on Bowling Green's Classic Rock, D93.
Make it part of your Thursday. Come on out and join us, Beach Band. Let's get back to the rock and roll. Bowling Green's Classic Rock, D93.
We'll do that. Very much. Thank you, Tommy. This hour brought to you by the Mellow Mushroom, 1035 Chestnut Street, beautiful downtown Bowling Green. In about half an hour, less than that, I'll have your chance to win a specialty calzone, your choice of a large Caesar or tossed salad. We'll throw in a four-pack of tickets to check out the Hot Rods in action on Saturday, and a pair of tickets to see the one and only Webb Wilder, who is going to be in Bowling Green on Saturday, May 30th. Show is at 8 o'clock. It's at the Phoenix Theater, part of the Phoenix Music Series. Public Theater of Kentucky at 545 Morris Alley. Tickets on sale right now at Mellow Matt's Music and More for $10 and $15 at the door if there are tickets left. And lucky enough to have Mr. Webb Wilder in the studio right now with us. Good afternoon, Webb.
Hey, Brian. How the heck are you?
Very good. Good to have you.
Good to see you.
Also, we have Webb Wilder's number one aficionado, Mr. Hunter Goatley, is in the house as well.
He's the O'Brienist.
The archivist,
and a true Wilderian scholar.
I try.
Grab that.
It's nice
there
to have something to do with my obsessive qualities, tendencies.
He's so thorough, too.
Hey, well, that's what you want in an archivist.
It is. Now, this is not October. It's weird having you in May. It's good to have you in May.
Well, you know, interesting point you bring up, but, you know, Santa Claus is somewhere right now. He's associating with Christmas and everything, but he's a year-round dude somewhere. We just don't know where.
So it's kind of like that with me.
Yeah, orbiting. Your orbit is off.
Yeah, and, you know, it's... No, you know, what I'm really proud to say is Bowling Green has been wonderful to me. It's being wonderful to me right now, just being on your show. But we've always done the band gigs here and the web fests and all, which we love. And Saturday night will be my first ever solo acoustic show in the fine hamlet of Bowling Green, Kentucky.
And in a very cool place.
The Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up from the ashes, the Phoenix there.
Thanks to Mellow Matt Music and and some other sponsors. And we have Mellow Matt with us today.
Yeah, and Mellow Matt is going to be telling us more about that within a few minutes. So we'll get everybody involved. Amber's going to be telling me. Yeah. But tell us what you've been up to, because I know you've been busy here lately.
Yeah, stranger things have happened, I guess. No, you know, it's sort of like... when it rains, it pours. You're busy or you're not, you know, it seems like. And we have been busy because we've been chipping away at making this album for more years than I care to admit, because we sort of did it in a run-in, run-out basis, and the first studio burned, literally, and, you know, wow. And we're at the mixing stage now, which is good.
Good.
And doing some gigs, you know, just did the Hippie Jack Americana Festival with Gretchen Peters and Jimmy Davis, and Daryl Scott was not there the day I was there, but he was there over in the hollers of Monterey, Tennessee. That's something else over there. That was last weekend. And we did a couple of outdoor shows in Atlanta already this spring, and we're doing the Blue Plum Festival in Johnson City, Tennessee next weekend. George Bradfield is mixing the record with too much input from all of us, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. Stuff like that, you know.
when you go about putting together a set list for Webb Wilder, that's one thing in the beatniks. But and then when you put together a set list for an acoustic one only solo show, what goes through your mind?
Well, stuff does go through my mind. You know, I think that as much as you appreciate your fans, which any artist worth his salt has to do, because without them you don't get to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But you do it because you want to do it. So you want to please yourself and please some or all of the people in the crowd, and you hope some of what I hope some of what I want to do will please them, and then I sort of think, well, what they might want me to do, you know. And but when I first started doing the solo shows, I kind of thought, well, there's a lot of that rock and roll I can't really do properly by myself, and I just love ballads, and I love all these old songs, so I did a lot of that. And then slowly I learned that, well, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You can do some of those rock and roll songs, and you don't have to do them rock and roll, even. Or it's amazing how rocked out you can sometimes be by yourself. So it wound up being a blend, but I still clung to my original sort of, this is a different thing, therefore I reserve the right to do some different stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a singer-songwriter-y meets my catalog. Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, you came up and you didn't bring the acoustic. You brought an electric.
And it had a lot of tuning problems.
No. It was one of the most rocking little sets I've ever heard you do.
Good to know.
And it was just, it had that electricity. So, you know, it does have that magic all its own sometimes if you can conjure that up. And you did that day, and I'm sure you will Saturday night.
Well, I hope so. I appreciate you saying that. That was sure fun, and that's the great thing is that you give me such carte blanche to do whatever I want. It's like when I'm on Greg Martin's show here. Yeah. It's just the D93 thing.
Hello.
And Greg and I get so into talking that it's almost like somebody needs to remind me I'm on the radio, you know, because it probably just gets way arcane.
No. That's why they're listening. It's exactly what it's there for. Well, you did bring an acoustic guitar, and I love that guitar.
Thanks.
And you're going to be playing a tune here for us. Would you roll one off here for
us? And thanks to Hunter, I have a list of all the songs I've already done on your show at one time or another, and there's no reason I couldn't repeat one, but I'd rather not.
All right.
I'll tell you what, I've been lucky to do some writing with a guy named John Hadley, who in his writing career has had songs recorded by, I think I'm right in all this list, of, you know, Roger Miller, Johnny Cash, Trisha Yearwood, the Dixie Chicks, George Burns, Webb Wilder, because Poolside, he's a writer on Poolside. Okay. And so we've been writing some songs, and I just did one of them on TV a few minutes ago. I'm going to do it for you now. You ready? All right. It's called Rough and Tumble Guy. Well, I'm on Rough and Tumble Guy. Don't mess with me, or you'll know why. I wear a demolition derby with a railroad tie. I'm a Rough and Tumble Guy. I got a song I gotta sing. I got a guitar, I can make it ring. Ain't gonna worry about the by and by. I'm a rough and tumble guy. Been known to fall, but I get back up. Don't try to tell me I ain't tough enough. I'll be rocking till the day I die. I'm a rough and tumble guy. You wanna fuss? You wanna fight? I ain't afraid of nothing. Go and bump in the night. Been hit by lightning right between the eyes. I'm a rough and tumble guy. Been known to fall, but I get back up. Don't try to tell me I ain't tough enough. I'll be rocking till the day I die. I'm a rough and tumble guy. I've been to hell and back again. Brought back some barbecue for all my friends.
Man, it was smoking.
That's no lie. Well, I'm a rough and tumble guy. Been known to fall, but I get back up. Don't try to tell me I ain't tough enough. I'll be rocking till the day I die. I'm a rough and tumble guy. Well, I'm a rough and tumble guy. Well, I'm a rough and tumble guy. Woo!
Woo!
Thank you very much.
Webb Wilder. And how old is that tune?
It's a few months old.
Really?
I mean, I think, 6 months old or something.
Love it.
And, you know, it's easy to be too wrapped up in your own thing and be drinking your own bathwater. But, you know, I'm a big Stones fan. We were talking about the Stones earlier. And supposedly Start Me Up was a song that they had many, many, many takes of in a reggae bag. And when they are big on stockpiling their stuff and reviewing. And, you know, one album might reflect different sessions. And that's kind of true of what I'm doing. But they found that one take of Start Me Up that wasn't reggae, and that's the one we know.
Wow.
And this song was kind of worked out like that. We did it. It was more of a tempo thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we were just blowing off some steam, and, you know, Jimmy and I are sort of nuts anyway. I don't know which one of us said it, but said, let's just play it real fast. And we like that one the best. So it's the closest thing to maybe an It Came From Nashville-ish at our age moment.
That's why I asked how old it was. It sounded like it's got some years in it.
Well, Tom was really man, that's what this album's been needing. He was so glad that song came along.
Yeah. Any title working in the
weeds? Yes, there are, and I'm just biting my tongue because I hate to say it before I know it's true.
Yeah.
But that was a boogaboo for us, and we think, or Tom and I at least, think we've stumbled onto that.
Yeah.
So we'll be one of the first to know.
Hello. And how many tracks are we talking about?
You know, that's another thing that's up in the air. It'll be at least 12.
Good.
And it might be 13. I'm even toying with the idea of a hidden track. How does that work?
Yeah, in this day and age.
Where does the information get recorded?
Yeah. Well, I had a question there for you, and it was we'll think of it in a minute and head on. You always seem to have some very cool old covers that you throw in there.
Some of those are, I can tell you, because we've been doing them for years, but we'd never recorded some of them. You know, it's like we never had I think all these will make it, you know. We have about that much more than you have to have to make an album,
sure.
So something could get ruled out.
Sure.
But we never had a studio version of the Otis Rush song, It Takes Time, that we've been doing for years.
Yep.
And we sort of broke a rule that people don't do this normally, where you have an album that's not a blues album, but you do some blues songs on it. So it is or it isn't a blues album. But It Takes Time by Otis Rush, that's one of them. Who Will the Next Fool Be? The old Charlie Rich thing. This album is a little bit... Influence-wise, it's a little bit like R&B and 60s Southern pop, like Joe South, or in my mind, but it comes out through the Web Wilder and the Beatniks filter.
Yeah.
But
Pay no attention to that.
There's a great R.S. Fields song that has really just been in the vaults for decades, which always blows my mind. He's got such a backlog of great songs that have never been recorded.
Wow.
And I'm proud to say I'll be the first one to release that. I hear bells.
That's not really. It's you just hearing that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Tinnitus. And let's see. Is there what else in the cover department? Well, you've maybe played it today. Maybe you haven't. But we put a couple of tunes that we had recorded with Joe McMahon before his studio burned, which has now been rebuilt. One of which is a very obscure cover by this kind of garagey band that I never saw live growing up in Mississippi, but I knew about them, called the One Way Street. And I'm probably the only guy in the world who's covered the One Way Street twice. But it's called A Yard Dog.
Yeah, we played that just a few minutes ago.
And I think, you know, somebody's bound to like it. I like it. And so awesome. I may be leaving some stuff. And really kind of I don't know if I'm almost tempted to say Jack White, but it's probably not going to strike anyone as that rad. But kind of an irreverent cover of... a song from Conway Twitty's rockabilly era called Lonely Blue Boy.
Wow.
Which I could actually do today if I'm doing more songs.
Well, evidently our AM station is blown up down the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm the only technician in the whole building.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little bitty break here.
Okay.
And we'll come back and clear things up and we'll let you do that.
Aerate.
We'll get rid of that tinnitus there, whatever it is. And we'll get back with Webb Wilder down at the Cafe Rock on the way next. And we're back with Webb Wilder down at the Cafe Rock. This hour brought to you by the Mellow Mushroom, 1035 Chestnut Street, beautiful downtown Bowling Green. And in less than 15 minutes or so, we'll give you an opportunity to win goodies from the Mellow Mushroom and a pair of tickets to see Webb Wilder Saturday night at the Phoenix Theater. Hunter, do you have any... burning questions that you must.
I don't have any questions, but I was going to mention. You were talking about the electric set that Webb did here a few years ago. That recording and pretty much every other radio show that he's done for the last 10 years or so can be found on my Webb Wilder website, which is webwilder.goatly.com, GOATLEY.com. So if you go to webwilder.goatly.com, there's an audio page. And people can listen to or download all these radio appearances.
And if you can't get around to it, we'll be desperate enough to press it up and sell it to you later on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we can do that.
I just remember circa 1996 and the web internet. The internet was just still, you know, came straight off of Al Gore's pipeline there. And one of the very first things I looked up was Webb Wilder, and it took me to that web page, and yours was one of the very first. I think yours was probably one of the first web pages around anywhere, wasn't it?
It was.
Regardless,
Ken
of
Drew
web
actually. Ken Drew was early on as a fan.
Yeah.
He had a Web Wilder website, but I do have websites. I had websites for Kiss and Alice Cooper and Web Wilder back in. Starting back in 92, when most people didn't even know the internet existed yet.
He has one of the first six medallions issued by Al Gore to internet scribes.
Yeah. I was trying to figure that out there.
Speaking of that, see, people, when you're an electrifying artist, people do stuff for you.
Yeah.
And so Hunter did that, and Ken Drew did that. And Shane Caldwell and Steve Boyle at some point wrote books about me.
Yeah.
And just like when, you know, the pulp novels were out on Billy the Kid and those guys, they weren't necessarily true, but they were great myth-building, legend-building tomes that enhanced the immortality of people who, like myself, otherwise will be crumbling pods of dust one day. So, folks, we just recently unearthed a new old stock box of the two-in-one pulp novel, Web Wilder, Mole Men, and The Doll. Available at webwilder.com for the low, low, ridiculously low price of, well, you'll have to go to the website to see.
I can vouch. It's actually a lot of fun, both novels.
There's some
sometimes,
guys.
Sometimes you get stuff like that, and it's not worth reading. This is definitely worth reading. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting there.
Shane really is the funniest man in Nashville, and he's kind of retired from doing that, I guess. And Steve is a brilliant guy, so there you go.
Yeah, I recommend it.
Did they do some writing for the one of your pictures, or was that?
Shane was in the film Har Hayride playing the evil country singer Carlsbad Devereaux, who had a hit called "Moanin' at the Cross." And Steve and Shane and I were all involved in a bunch of stuff that we did that you can find on YouTube for the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah.
We did some sort of closed circuit TV programming things. And,
those were great too.
You're the go-to guy, and we've said it before, but it's cool. When your phone rings, you just never know what it's going to be. Hey, man, we need you to come host this or MC this or... You're the dude. It's great.
Well, I'm not. I am to a degree, I guess, but... thank you for saying that. But yeah, there have been some amazing phone calls along the way, some of which I missed. Like I was asked one time to preside over, I'm such a guitar nerd, you know that. And so this is before I would check my messages and I had the, answer machine at home. And I was actually working on a song at Joe McMahon's house and I went home and got the message. They were going to get these iconic guitarists. They were going to have Duane Eddy, Chet Atkins, James Burton, Scotty Moore, I might be leaving somebody out, and Hank Garland happened to be there.
Wow.
And they were going to put their handprints in concrete at the Country Music Hall of Fame and send them out to the Rock Walk in L.A., and they wanted me to host it. Well, by the time I returned the call, they'd already gotten somebody who was actually more of a historian and more qualified. But they said, you should come, so I took guitars and had them autographed. So people say, what are those signatures on your guitars? Yeah. Like, well, Scotty Moore, James Burton, Duane Eddy, Chet Atkins, Hank Garland. Yeah. Nice. So that was one of those calls that was, to some people wouldn't mean a lot. One time after we did Town and Country, Ronnie Lane's widow called me.
Oh.
And, the fact that we had done My Mind's Eye meant a lot to her. And she said Ronnie dug us and the satellites and stuff. And then I got to know Ian McLagan. I'm such a Faces fan. Mm-hmm. And even though I only had one phone conversation with him, it was great. And it meant a lot to me that he came to our Americana Fest show in September. Have I already talked to you about that?
Well, I don't know if it was on the air or not. Maybe it was just a phone conversation. But yeah, I remember you saying that.
And then,
that.
Of course, he tragically and unexpectedly passed away in December.
Yeah.
And this wasn't a call I received as much as one I sort of placed. I was and am bereft. I think it's terrible. But he was supposed to open these shows for Nick Lowe and Low Straitjackets the day before the tour or something. Yeah. He passed away. So I emailed Low Straitjackets manager. I said, I'm torn up about this, but who's going to open the show and the shows? And they had somebody to do most of them. But about a week later, I got a call. What are you doing this weekend? So next thing I know, I'm talking to Nick Lowe, in the lobby of the hotel. And we're getting in the van to go to the gig,
Were you Google-eyed?
Yeah, I had to really roll it back because I'm such a fan of his. I didn't want to just overwhelm the guy with too much talk.
Sure.
I probably did.
Well.
But he was so gracious about it. And at some point he goes, well, when was the last time we saw each other? And I said, well, I think it was Farm Aid in 92 or something. And so then he gets on stage that night and he goes, by now you've been delighted and entertained by the great Web Wilder. And he had said some wonderful things about Mac, and they were all torn up that Mac, they were looking forward to doing the shows with him. But he goes, and Webb and I go back. We've got form. And I told him, I said, well, really, the first time I met you was just as a fan at our in-store record store thing in Austin in the 70s. And the next night, he goes, and we go back to the 1970s.
And there was this one stalking incident.
It's like, thanks, Nick, but wow, you're overstating it.
Oh, man. Can you share another tune with us?
Sure. So since I said I was going to do it, why don't I do that one, huh?
Oh, really?
Lonely Blue Boy?
I'd love for you to. Hang on here. Let me get my recorder going.
We met Conway years ago in a studio, and he told us the whole story of this song. Apparently, this song was originally called Danny Is My Name. And there's one of the Elvis movies where his character is named Danny. Maybe it's King Creole. I'm not sure. And it was written for Elvis for that movie, and they rejected it. And Conway, they must have rewritten it or something a little bit. Conway wanted to do it. His managers didn't want him to. He did. It was a hit. And he, you know, said, showed you, you know. But he was very gracious about it. But this is a really different take on the song. And it goes like this. My name should be Trouble. My name should be Woe. But trouble and heartache is all I know. Yeah, yeah, Lonely Blue Boy is my name. My life has been empty. My dreams have been torn. It must have been raining on the night I was born. Yeah, yeah, Lonely Blue Boy is my name. Well, I'm oh so afraid of tomorrow, tomorrow. And so tired of today, tired of today. Will I say that love is the answer? But love never came my way. Yeah, yeah. I'm writing this letter to someone unknown. And if you should find it, and if you're alone, yeah, yeah, Lonely Blue Boy is my name. One more time. Well, I'm oh so afraid of tomorrow, tomorrow, and so tired of today, tired of today. Will I say that love is the answer? But love never came my way. Yeah, yeah. I'm writing this letter to someone unknown. And if you should find it, and if you're alone, yeah, yeah, Lonely Blue Boy, here's my name. Remember, Lonely Blue Boy is my name.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Webb Wilder. Do you know Conway?
Well, he's no longer with us.
I mean, did you know Conway?
No, I just met him, and he was very nice that one time.
He was nice that one time?
Well, I mean, I only met him one time.
Well, that's all it counts.
My whole opinion of him is very high because my one experience was great.
The one
and I don't hear any bad stories or anything. Don't get me wrong. He seems to have been a great guy.
Yeah. Was he really named for Conway, Texas?
Anybody who knows, correct me if I'm wrong, but
Twitty, Texas.
I believe his name was Harold Jenkins.
Right.
And his father maybe was a Mississippi riverboat pilot or something, and so he knew about these towns. And Conway, Arkansas, where I visited as a young fellow, there's a place called Twitty.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's
Twitty, Texas, I think, yeah.
Is it Mississippi?
Well, maybe. You would know.
I don't know. I should, but I don't. But yeah, he took his name. It's like Mark Twain or something, but he took his name from two towns. Conway and Twitty.
Yeah.
If my name was Harold, I would change that too.
I don't know. Harold Jenkins, that's got a good ring to it.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
What was John Wayne's name? Marion Francis or something?
Yeah,
he upped
like
his
that.
Game
yeah,
with
yeah.
John Wayne.
Yeah. Well, it's always a pleasure. I hate to.
Ditto.
Yeah. I hate to cut you loose, but I know you've got to get back to Nashville and
kick some ass.
Do all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then you got to come back here.
Down in Nashville, there's evildoers perpetrating evil deeds. Somebody's got to go down there and put a lid on it. About to get out of hand. About to get out of hand.
Oh, man, it's already been out of hand.
Everybody's moved there. Suddenly, everyone's 27 years old. Traffic's worse. And you find yourself at those intersections where you're out in the middle of it and the light has changed and you want to look. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It never used to happen. It happens to me like once a week at a different intersection now because the traffic's so backed up.
You're right. Yeah. I know. Well, I hate to drive in Nashville. But it's even worse. Now, how could it be worse? It's even worse.
You know, there was a time when the hillbilly stigma worked in our advantage as people who lived there because people thought, oh, I don't want to go to Nashville. That's just all that old country music, you know? And they failed to realize that there's three music business centers in the country, L.A., Nashville, and New York, and, you know, blues, jazz, country, rock and roll, and everything we pray at the altar of came from the South. So one of those three places is in the South. So whoever the most talented person in your hometown is may have moved there. But people still didn't come, really, unless they just came to fanfare or something. And we had these stickers in the 90s. The next level of it was people began to come, and the locals got these stickers. And they said, welcome to Nashville, now y'all go home.
Yeah.
There are none of those stickers now.
Oh, yeah.
I guess they want the money or something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's cool. You know, it's cool, but it's different. It's interesting.
And hot chicken is on every side, you know, every
all
other
that,
sidewalk.
Yeah. And East Nashville is just jumping every night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different scene, but, you know, I guess I'm a hypocrite. I guess the world is just waking up to what I always knew, that Nashville's a cool place, you know.
It always had that little kind of undercurrent, and it bubbles up every now and then and goes away, but it's always been there.
Well, as you know, here I am, a balding at the time, now bald guy with a hat that's at least borderline, if not a total cowboy hat, with these major rock deals on Island and BMG. And back then, though, that was a major feat to do out of Nashville because people would say, don't tell them you're from Nashville. So we called the first album, It Came from Nashville. You know, and they made the Scorchers drop Nashville from their name and things like that. And the funny thing is that the Black Keys are great, the White Stripes are great, but after they moved to Nashville, it became cool. It's like, well, they were already famous before they got here.
Yeah.
Glad to have them.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Now you've got people like, and now my mind's gone blank on all the old 80s rock stars that have moved to Nashville to try to make it in country.
Yeah.
And Steven Tyler's released a new country album.
Bret Michaels.
I know.
Bret Michaels.
Well, here's a funny story. A friend of mine was interested in a guitar they had at Groon's, and I called him up. What do you know? I'm on my way to go look at this guitar. I said, well, I'll just meet you over there. I couldn't buy anything. I thought I'd look at it. We were too late. Mick Mars had bought it.
Yeah, that's right. He lives there, too.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, everybody lives there.
He probably paid cash for it, didn't he?
Probably did. He drove off in a fine car, from what I understand. Mick Mars, Webb Wilder, you turn those initials upside down, they're the same thing.
Ooh, I thought about that. Right. MM and WW.
Oh, he and I talk all the time.
Yeah. Webb Wilder at the Phoenix Theater on Saturday evening. Mellow Matt, can you just step up here to the microphone and tell us how
what
ticket sales
Matt
are going?
Mellow Matt so mellow? We about to find
well,
out.
Well, ticket sales are going well, right?
Ticket sales are going extremely well.
Yes. And this is part of the Phoenix Music Theater music series?
Yes, correct.
And you've got a little thing happening Friday night with Bosco France,
that's right?
That's right. Kentucky Blues
in
Society.
In conjunction with the Kentucky Blues Society. Huge thanks to Ken and the Blues Society for helping us out with the PA. And so Ken and I started talking. It's like, hey, let's do a blues showcase. And he said, man, I'd love to get Bosco France in there. So there you go. Let's do it.
Excellent. And tickets for Webb available until while supplies last.
While they last.
For $10 right now at Melomass Music and More.
Yes, $10. And we also have the Bosco France tickets, too, which are selling well also.
Good.
But we'll have tickets Saturday up to 3 o'clock, if we still have any left.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going quick.
Okay.
And we're happy about that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
Yes.
And Webb Wilder, come back here and grab this microphone. Let me just say thank you so much for coming in once again.
Thank you.
Gracing us.
Brian.
And we'll see you Saturday night.
I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for having me as usual. It's great seeing you, and I'll see you again then. And thank you, people of Bowling Green. I hope to see a lot of you.
We'll do it. Hunter, thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
This is Cafe Rock, this hour of requests brought to you by the Mellow Mushroom, and we hijacked it with Webb Wilder, and it's always fun to do. Right now, I'm going to give you a chance to win some goodies here. I've got a Mellow Mushroom calzone, your choice of a large Caesar or tossed salad. I got a 4-pack of tickets for you to see the Hot Rods in action, and a pair of tickets to see Webb Wilder at the Phoenix Theater Saturday night in beautiful downtown Bowling Green. Here are those numbers for you to dial: 270-793-9367, toll free 888-847-9367. Bluegrass Cell customers, star 933 is always a free call for you. Let's take caller, lucky caller 7. It's going to win next.